In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverant Family Conversation, and it's great to be with all of you. So as you come together today in our Perseverant Family, we'd like to start off by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we invoke Mary, Mary is also our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to come to be with us, to pray with us, and to pray for us, so that we love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the more. So let's pray the prayer that she loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary or the angelic salutation. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director and beg our spiritual director to come to help us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. What a great privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit as our master, our guide, and our teacher. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler, as well as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to enlighten our minds, but also to set our hearts on fire with love for God. As we pray the classical or traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit, so together, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. The family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. So after praying with you, I will pray for all of you. And that prayer that I'll offer for all of you will be the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Holy sacrifice of the Mass is the prayer par excellence. So, my friends, I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the prayer which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I'll offer these intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the workings and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be I'd like to pray for all of our families. For the conversion, the sanctification, and salvation of our family members. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So I'd like to pray for our family members, for their conversion, their sanctification, and finally their salvation. Then I'd like to pray for another group. And that would be I'd like to pray in a special way for all those who will be dying sometime today. Many will be dying today, and most likely many are not prepared that through our prayers that they would be saved. Through our prayers that they would be saved. Not only for them, but I'd like to pray for ourselves, that we would receive the grace of all graces. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Amen. So, my friends, I'd like to start off today speaking briefly about the second commandment, and then we have the wonderful encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And the book of Revelation is challenging us to be converted, to love God more fully and totally in our lives. And Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. He's waiting for us to open up that door. But the second commandment, my friends, we finished the first commandment after a long time, is you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Comment briefly on what St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians. At the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and below the earth should bow. Let us always have a great love, devotion, and respect. Love, devotion, respect for the holy name of Jesus. Years ago, our good parents, as well as the nuns in the school, they taught us many beautiful devotions. One devotion was, maybe you were brought up and raised with this also, was that when you hear the name of Jesus, to bow your head. So upon hearing the name of Jesus, a simple bow. It's a beautiful practice. By the way, bowing one's head. Bowing one's head. If you... When you're going to the Mass, maybe you notice the different gestures of the priest. When the priest mentions the name of Jesus and Mary, as well as the saint of the day, the priest makes a simple bow with his head. So next time you go to Mass, maybe pay attention to that. And when the priest makes a simple bow of the head, invite you also to do the same thing. So that's our brief commentary on the second commandment today. Okay, the book from Revelation, I'd like to just pull out two ideas for our meditation. Today we hear that almost scary admonition from the Church of Laodicea. And all of us can easily fall into this, so let's listen to this and pray for the grace to be faithful. The Word of God says to us, I know your works. I know your works. But you are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. So I will vomit you out of my mouth. Return to your first love. Get gold refined by the fire. So my friends, there's the perennial danger in our lives that we can become very fervent, maybe when we do the spiritual exercises, we do the consecration to Mary, maybe we go to Mass, maybe we hear a good sermon, maybe we hear a good talk, you know, in which the fire is burning. But little by little, that fire can start to decline. And even go out. So constantly we have to keep feeding the flame. It's true, we start off with fervor and then little by little it can decline. So we want to keep feeding the flame. I think if we have this devotion to Mary, cultivate devotion to Mary, we keep asking Mary to help us to keep feeding the flame. So that's one idea I'd like to lay in your heart is let's pray that if we are fervent that we will keep feeding the flame. But if it is such that maybe our fervor has diminished, this day would be a day in which we can beg Mary and beg the Holy Spirit to enkindle the ardent fire of divine love within our hearts, that it would burn ardently. Now is the time. Okay, the second idea I'd like to develop from the book of Revelation or the book of Apocalypse is the following. I'd like to explain it by means of some traditional art. There's a pretty well-known painter. His name is Holman Hunt. And he painted my friends, a depiction of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but also the Good Shepherd, you might even call him Jesus the Pilgrim. And you can see Jesus with staff in hand, in front of a door, and he's knocking at a door. So one occasion related to this, an individual drew close to the artist, Holman Hunt, and said, you know, you're a good painter. But in the painting of Jesus, the pilgrim, with his staff in hand, and the door, you forgot to paint an essential part of the door. And Holman Hunt asked him, well, what do you mean? Well, the man said, you painted the door, but there's no handle on the door. And Holman Hunt defended himself and said, I purposely did not paint the handle on the door from outside. And the reason being is that the door can only be opened from within. Hopefully you pick up the message. And those are two ideas I wanted to glean from you from the book of Revelation today. There's so much in there, but I thought I'd bring out two to three ideas. So today you have the last few verses of the book of Revelation. We're going through the St. John the Evangelist, going through the seven churches of Asia Minor. And today would be some parts from chapter 3. We hear, behold, we'll see how this is related to Holman Hunt's painting and his defense of not painting a doorknob outside the door. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his home and dine with him, and he with me. Beautiful passage. Beautiful passage. Beautiful passage. So right now Jesus, the Good Shepherd, right now Jesus, the wandering pilgrim, is traveling throughout the world. You're not simply visiting whole nations or countries or cities or homes. But right now Jesus is knocking at the door, and he's knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking and he's calling. He's knocking and he's calling and he's asking entrance. And then he says, if you do open up the door, and the door is symbolic of your heart, and that can only be opened up from within. There's a promise and a recompense. The Word of God says, I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne. Wow. We're getting ready, my friends. This coming Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the feast of Christ the King. Christ the King. Then the following Sunday, we enter into the church new year with the beginning of Advent, December 1st. So with that word, I'll give the victor. The victor is the one that opens up the door to invite our Lord inside. The right to sit with me on my throne. Wow. What a great privilege. What a great privilege the Lord is giving to us. But he's going to be respecting our freedom. He will be respecting your freedom and my freedom. You know, my friends, this makes me think, related to Jesus as King, and he's inviting us to sit on the throne to share his royalty with us. As we go back, my friends, to the day, the place, the hour of our baptism. That's right, the day, the place, and the hour of our baptism. Thanks be to God that we received baptism, transforming us into sons and daughters of God. Thanks be to God. And I think many of you have been chosen to be godfathers or godmothers in your life. What a great privilege to be a godmother or godfather. Now, related to Christ the King and Jesus inviting us to sit with him on his throne, what a privilege. Do you remember last time you went to a baptism? Baptism is the sacrament, very beautiful, rich in symbolism. After the child or the adult was baptized, maybe you remember this, is that the priest or deacon or bishop, he draws close to the child and he anoints the child with a special oil. And that oil is actually called chrism. That oil is actually called, it's called chrism, that the bishop blesses during the Holy Week. Then he anoints the forehead. And he proclaims that this child, now baptized, is going to be given a triple role. And the triple role is the role that Jesus has, but as Jesus wants to share his throne with us, he wants to share the triple role. You're anointed as priest and prophet and king. What a privilege. Anointed with that holy chrism as priest and prophet and king. Priest and prophet and king. What a great privilege. So let's spend a little time on those three roles, and I see a connection between the first reading and the gospel, because the gospel we have Zacchaeus, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today I want to enter into your home. So there's a connection between Revelation where the word of God says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens up to me, I will sit down at table with him, dine with him, and he'll dine with me. And then Jesus is actually inviting himself to the home of Zacchaeus. It's about the only time in sacred scripture when Jesus invites himself. The other times he's invited by others, but Jesus Jesus wants to enter into our home, as we have in Revelation, him knocking at the door, but respecting our freedom. Respecting our freedom. So we're commenting upon those, that gesture in baptism. Which we're called to be priest, prophet, and king. When we say that, the word priest, the Second Vatican Council speaks about two forms of priesthood. There is a ministerial priesthood, and that would be myself being ordained a Catholic priest, having holy orders. But then there's another type of priesthood that Vatican II explains, and that would be the common priesthood of the faithful. That common priest of faithful, my friends, starts in the very moment of your baptism. And as a priest offers bread and wine in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you will form a priestly people. You're called also to offer yourselves to Christ through the priest in the Mass. Offer yourselves and all that you have. Now, prophet. Now, prophet is not simply someone that can maybe read into the future. That's a very limited interpretation of prophet. Reading into the future. But the role of prophet, my friends, is the role in which we're called to preach the Word of God. To preach the Word of God, my friends, by our words. By our words, but also by our lives. How often do we read in the lives of the saints, for example, the second reading for Saint Anthony of Padua and Saint Charles Borromeo, that if we preach the word of God, but we don't live it with our lives, Charles Borromeo said that the people just look at us with a cynical laughter, laughing at us because what we're preaching with our words, we're not living with our lives. So we want to be authentic. We want to be the real deal. We want to be the real deal, you know, to be authentic. Now we move from priest, prophet to king, and Jesus says, or the Word of God says, I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Now what this means is the kingly or royal dimension is, I remember once Father Craig, when he was commenting on this, said something that stuck with me. He said, the first thing we have to do is we have to try to rule and govern our own passions. Easier said than done. But I like that. So we're talking about the kingly or royal role. We're called to govern and to govern, and we're called to govern and to subjugate our passions. That we will not be led by our passions and our feelings, But we would be led by the Spirit, being moved and led by the Spirit. And then, when we talk about this kingly role, or royal role, it's not simply to dominate other people and to subjugate other people. Is that we're not called to dominate, to be domineering and machos, but rather our kingly role is the role of service. That's right. It's not to dominate and to utilize others, to be domineering, but rather as living out the kingly role, we are called, my friends, to the role of service. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, speaking about himself, and this Sunday we celebrate Christ the King. As the Mexicans say, Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Is that Jesus said this, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life and ransom for many. I'd like to repeat that. This is what it really means, the kingly role, not to subjugate or dominate, but rather it's that of service. Jesus said that the Son of Man, that's him, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life and ransom for many. And even Mary said, in her fiat, Mary said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. So, my friends, right now I have to leave a little bit early today. So what I'd like to do is let's pray for each other that we would live out the word today. Jesus is standing at the door. He's knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart and my heart. So I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. Let's pray that we would be able to really understand, as the word says, listen to the word of God. To listen to the word of God, but also let's pray that we be given the grace to put it into practice. And I will give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Que viva Cristo Rey, que viva la Virgen Guadalupe, and many blessings upon all of you, and I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same channel.